Well, there's pain also in Paris. Last night, a French citizen who'd once been convicted of recruiting jihadists stabbed a police commander to death and posted the attack and pledged his allegiance to ISIS on Facebook. He then killed the officer's wife while their three-year-old child watched, but was thankfully spared. The Orlando shooter called 911 to pledge allegiance to ISIS in the middle of his rampage. The couple behind the San Bernardino mass shooting also paused and went to Facebook again to pledge their support of ISIS, as did the May 2015 would-be attackers in Garland, Texas, who drove up to that cartoon contest with assault rifles and took to Twitter to pledge their support of ISIS before they were shot and killed. The list goes on. Lone wolves, but with almost a press release. Peter Bergen is vice president of the think tank New America. He's also author of United States of Jihad, Investigating America's Homegrown Terrorists. Peter, do you think this is a new pattern, pausing mid-attack to pledge allegiance?
Yeah, I mean, one of the kind of outcomes of looking at more than 300 of these cases since 9/11 in the United States was that these attacks are being conducted by American citizens, and they are not working in any real sense with a foreign terrorist organization. They're inspired by these organizations. They will pledge allegiance to them, but they have no formal training or real connections beyond inspiration.
Yeah. And you talk, of course, you have traced this, as you say, since 9/11, but Rachel Maddow on MSNBC did an extensive timeline last night. And she started it in 2014 when the U.S. airstrikes on ISIS in Syria increased, seemed to provoke a reaction from ISIS. They came out with a directive. It seemed somewhat funny at the time. You know, they said, don't come here. Stay where you are. Use a rock. You know, use your car. Use a rock. And people thought, use a rock. And then people started picking up hatchets in New York City or using a car to attack policemen in Canada. Do you think there was a shift then as well?
It shifted in 2015, I would say, with more calls for attacks in the West. Mm. You know, just on May 21st, the spokesman for the group called for attacks in the West in Ramadan. And unfortunately, we've seen both in Paris and Orlando that those instructions were followed by people who had no formal connections to the group but pledged allegiance to them post facto.
And can you trace that pledge to statements from ISIS? Because at that time when they said, don't come here anymore, stay where you are, remember the statements, kill the filthy French. You know, it seemed kind of odd, but then the attacks started happening. And they also said, don't ask our permission, however, pledge to us. I mean, do you think that these attackers are following that mandate?
Yeah, they seem to be.
Yeah, yeah. What else are you seeing in these attacks?
Well, the attack at Orlando, I mean, at New America, myself and our researchers here have put together a database of every jihadist terrorist case since 9/11. And we came to the conclusion that these were not young hotheads typically who were involved in these cases. Their average age was 28, a third of them married, a third have kids, not career criminals. And if you look at Omar Mateen, he fits that profile almost perfectly. So do the couple in San Bernardino who killed 14. Mm-hmm. In both cases, they had a kid. They both had stable jobs. In many ways, they were ordinary Americans, except through their adoption of this violent ideology.
And for people who haven't heard it, the new reports are that Omar Mateen, yes, he had a first wife, but he also had a second wife and a child. That news has surfaced. Name one of these events that we might not remember, but we might now see as part of this pattern. For instance, I had forgotten about the guys who pulled up to the sort of cartoon art show in Gardner, Texas. Forgot about that. Name one that you're very much conscious of.
The Garland, Texas attempt to attack the cartoon contest of the Prophet Muhammad is actually a very interesting case because not only were they inspired by ISIS, they were also in encrypted communication with members of ISIS. And so this is an interesting, what law enforcement calls a blended attack, which was both inspired by ISIS and also to some extent directed by ISIS. Now, there's no indication that in Orlando, ISIS directed Omar Mateen to do what he did. But certainly, I think in the future, we're going to see not only inspiration, but also some direction, but not necessarily training, as we saw in Paris and Brussels, where all the perpetrators had actually been trained by ISIS and had gone to Syria.
And what do you think of the reports that Omar Mateen might actually have been struggling with his sexuality? It's almost, terrorism, and we don't know, this hasn't been confirmed, but terrorism as cover for some personal struggle.
There's a wonderful quote from the philosopher Immanuel Kant, which is, from the crooked timber of humanity, not a straight thing is made. And I think that's a good reminder to journalists and historians and sociologists that when we look at people, they're very complex. And on the face of it, somebody may be an Islamist militant. But when you get into it, personal disappointments, it's a mosaic of reasons. And getting to the why is very, very difficult. And in fact, sometimes you never arrive at the why, because at the end, it's inexplicable. Why would you kill 50 complete strangers at a gay nightclub in Orlando? For what end? You've just ruined, you know, 50 families' lives forever. You've wounded a number of other people. But, you know, when you get into the why, you know, you find that there's often a very rich kind of stew of resentments and personal disappointments. Some ideology, of course, that it, they hang their grievances on to kind of allow them to carry out these murderous acts.
Yeah. Peter Bergen, if I may, we've spoken before, you sound a little weary. I mean, from what you know, I don't know if I'd want to be burdened with what you know, but from what you know, what would you tell officials going forward? How do you look for a lone wolf? What do you do?
I mean, there's no way to find a lone wolf really very easily. I mean, the FBI does have investigations in 50 states, 900 investigations. And they are looking at what they call indicators along the pathway to violence. But, you know, lone wolves are not calling foreign terrorist organizations the kinds of communications that can be intercepted by intelligence agencies. They're not also having meetings with co-conspirators, the kinds of meetings that can be monitored by the FBI, and therefore they're hard to detect.
Peter Bergen, Vice President of the think tank New America, and again his book, United States of Jihad, Investigating America's Homegrown Terrorists. Peter, thanks as always.
Thank you.